Welcome to Notes from a Drama Watcher, a podcast about East Asian dramas. It's part recap, part review, and there will definitely be spoilers ahead.
Hi, welcome to episode 38 of Notes from a Drama Watcher. This is your host, M. Today, I'm going to be talking about Laws of Attraction, episodes 6 and 7. It took a while for this to come out because I've been having technical difficulties, but here I am. I wanted to get this out before the finale came out because that I'll cover in a separate podcast. So we're going to jump right into episode 6 of Laws of Attraction. In this episode, Tin and Chen travel to the village of Bangdeonpan to see if they can locate Ploy and her family so they can try to get the doll. While they're there, they bump into a village chief who is scared out of his mind to see Chan. And finally, Chan shares his past with Tin in this episode. I thought the pacing was really good in this episode. We open the episode with Tin and Chan traveling in a car together, and the atmosphere seems tense, and you don't really know what's going on. And then Chan receives a text, and it's a text from Rose, and she's asking if the ride is sweet, if the trip has been sweet. And Chan is like, no, it's terrifying and it's your fault. And you find out what happens was they do a flashback. And before they go on the trip, Rose is teasing Chan about meeting up with an ex-boyfriend of his who, like she says, Chan had said at one point that that was the best night of his life with that ex-boyfriend. But while she's doing all this teasing, Tin has walked off of the elevator and has heard all of this. And as we know from episode 4, when Tin grabbed Chan away from beer in the club, Tin has a little bit of a possessive, jealous streak. That scene was actually a little funny to me in a way, because even though Tin is this really good guy, good-hearted guy, etc., everyone in the room was like scared when they realized that he had heard all of that teasing. So now Chan is stuck in the car with him, kind of like not knowing what to do with this tense atmosphere. So that was kind of a lighthearted comedic moment. But at the same time, it can't be too much comedy for too long, right? Because they are traveling to the village where terrible things happen to Chan. And as he's sitting there in the passenger seat looking around, he starts reminiscing about a little bit about his time in the village and what he thought had been a good relationship with the villagers. And he gets really startled, and you can see his face is just, he's so startled to be there. He's sad and he kind of jumps, you know, out of his skin a little bit. And Tin is like, are you okay? What's happening? And that's kind of the beginning of Tin seeing like Chan is not his usual self while in this village. So once they arrive back at the hotel, they talk a little bit about the fact that Tin had been jealous before. And Chan is like, are you okay now? And Tin's, what right do I have to be angry or jealous? And Chan says, well, do you want the right? Which Tin is so happy to hear that. You know? that's, I guess, the beginning of, they never officially say like boyfriends, but I guess that's Chan giving his permission kind of thing. Now, at the same time that Tin and Chan are on their road trip, T is rescuing sort of Tenthai. He takes Tenthai away from the house and runs away with him. And they go to some hotel somewhere else together. And, you know, T warns Tenthai not to use his credit card or anything so that they won't be traced. And while they're on this trip together, you get to see more of how Tenthai should be, really, how he is at heart. You see him like rescuing a kitten. He's all smiles and just so relaxed when he's with T. And you can see how he would really be, right? Just being away from the home where he's being abused and has been abused his entire life. We also get to see a little bit of T's memories and why he has these, you know, good feelings about Tenthai. And we see that T, when he was younger, was actually homeless. And Tenthai was the one who helped him. He gave him food, but then he also, you know, brought him into his home and saved him from a life on the streets, basically. So we see now why T knows that at heart, Tan could be a good person if he was just away from the influence of his father, because he was a good kid. And when he's away from his dad, he has a sweetness to him. That's what T wants the world to see. He wants the world to see Tan the way that he sees him. Now, as I said, the more they travel around, the more the village, the more Tin realizes like something's going on. He says at one point, he kind of realized that Chan was a little too familiar with this village. they find the doll, they find a ploy, they find the doll. Unfortunately, the doll is not working. So they hold on to their plan is to take it somewhere to be fixed. But as they're talking in the street, a homeless man, an apparently homeless man, runs by and grabs the doll in the bag from Chan, thinking there's food in there. So they give chase because, of course, they can't let the doll go. And when they finally find him, this man recognizes Chan, and he's so scared of him. And then Chan recognizes him and realizes that was the former chief of the village, the chief that he had been working with to try to help the villagers, etc., from the industrialist who's trying to take over, the developer who's trying to take over the village. And Tin is just there very confused about why does this man seem so scared of Chan. And when they go back to the hotel, that's when Chan finally comes clean about what happens in the village, which, of course, Tin is very sad for him, right? Because his mother died. We get to see not only was his mother killed, but Chan himself was shot and almost died. And not worse, because it's not worse, but to add salt to the wound, he was betrayed very badly by the chief. And that's why the chief is so scared of him. And you get to really see why Chan has this very dim view of humanity, where anyone can betray you at any moment. Because he was betrayed, and he was betrayed particularly by people he was giving his all to help. This whole scene was done so well because Chan is talking about having power and as a means to protect yourself and how that's what he wants for Tin. But you can tell by the look on his face, does he even really believe that anymore? You know, I know he did at one point. Does he still believe it? And Tin is like, that's not what your mother would want for you. She wouldn't want you to just be power hungry and to go for revenge. And Chan doesn't want, not that he doesn't want to hear it, but it hurts too much for him to think about his mother, because he knows deep down that his mother would have never wanted things to turn out the way they did. She was so proud of him for being someone who was out there giving his all and helping people. And she would not have been happy to see him doing underhanded things and stuff like that. And it's not who he was with her. So she also would have been sad that he changed so much. Chan's talking about how he can live his life proudly with all he's accomplished. And Tin is just looking at him like, no, you know that you're not living your life proudly. That's why you don't want me kind of mentioning your mother. And finally, we see Chan break down because he knows in his heart of hearts that this is not what his mother would have wanted for him. And throughout all of this, it's not a big argument or something. I love this scene actually, because Tin is really gentle with him. He's speaking softly to him, but he's not backing down. He's letting him know his thoughts and he's letting him know the truth. He's making Chan confront it, but he's just being very soft and gentle with him. And that's what he needs. That's what Chan needs. I said in a previous podcast that Chan needs nurture and care. And I stand by that. That's really what he needs. He needs nurture and care. And Tin is the perfect person for that. He does try to talk to Chan. He winds up, you know, he goes to step away. He goes to walk away. And Chan stops him and has a little, you know, a breakdown and is crying and everything. And it's so sweet because he hugs Tin's back and Tin just kind of pats his head and turns around. And he makes Chan face him because Chan is like, he can't look at him. He's trying to hide his tears. But Tin doesn't want him to hide, right? He wants to see the real Chan. So he turns his face around and just, you know, looks at him, treats him very gently. And they share their first kiss, which is a very gentle, soft kiss, which is exactly what is needed in this moment. And, you know, they're going to be intimate. Scene fades to black, etc. And then it shows them afterwards on the porch together, talking and just being very soft with each other. And but cutesy. It's no longer like gentle Tin. Now he's kind of teasing, but they're just much more relaxed. And Chan looks much more open now than he did before. And I've mentioned before, Film, who plays Chan, he tweets a lot. And he tweets during the show. He'll send out several tweets or the day that the show airs. He'll send out several tweets commenting on things and stuff. So back in episode five, he actually tweeted out in English, which I was like, yay. he tweeted out episode 6, we see the real Chan. And He was completely right, right? This is the real Chan. That person sitting on the porch with Tin is the real Chan. He's soft. He's happy. He still has his little sassiness because Tin asks him a question. And the way he responds, I'm like, okay, we've still got sassy Chan in there. But he's just a softer person, closer to who he was before. I saw a number of people kind of freaking out on Twitter because the end of episode 6, after all of that of him, Chan and Tin finally getting together, Chan kind of wakes up in the middle of the night, takes the doll, takes a picture of it, and sends a text to Tatep, the senator, saying like for them to meet, for them to negotiate. And people were like, oh my goodness, he's betraying Tin. I never thought for a second that Chan was betraying Tin. Chan, ever since episode 2 or 3, let's say, when he decides to put the house on fire, everything Chan has done has been about protecting Tin. And like, that's his reason for being right now, is protecting Tin and by extension, Grandma. So I knew that this deal, whatever he was trying to do with the senator, was to try to take Tin out of the picture to protect Tin. Because in the preview for episode 7, they show Tin handcuffed to the bed. And I was like, that is Chan's way of protecting Tin. Locking him up at the house, basically, so he can go off, meet the senator, and, you know, whatever happens, happens. He might get into danger. I mean, it's the senator. This is the guy who, as we found out, shot a reporter. This is the guy who killed a girl with no remorse. This is the guy who framed his son for the killing with no remorse. So, of course, Chan is not going to trust that Tin would be safe meeting with him. And he loves Tin so much that he wants to protect him from possibly being hurt. So, episode 7, he goes to pick up the car because the car had been in the shop. And presumably, he's on his way to meet the senator. But as he's driving, the doll suddenly starts talking. Remember, the doll was something, it was not working, whatever, but it suddenly starts talking. And he gets to hear that, in fact, Tun Kao did make a recording. And, oh, I kind of skipped ahead earlier, I already said it. But what it recorded was Senator Tatep had killed a reporter who was going to report on something on him and was blackmailing him so as not to report the information. So she recorded it on her doll, but they heard her scream because obviously she had just witnessed this terrible thing. And he chases after her with the car. That's when he kills her. Right after Chan hears this, he's driving and a car in front of him suddenly starts swerving around on the road. And it actually turns out to be Wit, who is coming after him because he's upset that the senator fired him essentially for messing up in the office when he went after Chan. And luckily, Chan is saved by a quick thinking person who turns out to be one of the villagers, a child that he had helped. He's actually the kid who, back in episode 6, when Chan was having a flashback in the beginning of the episode, the little boy in the flashback is this young man. And this young man tells him, like, there were villagers that were on his side. And in fact, they tried to go look for them and help them because they didn't agree with what had happened to Chan and his mother. And this causes Chan to remember a conversation he had with his mom, where his mom was saying, if you do good things for people, if you help people, good things will return to you. And he was like, oh, I don't know. And now he sees, like, yes, it's true. This person he helps when he was younger now saved his life. And that was a cute conversation because they actually made a bet in that conversation about if it's who was right, that if you do good things will return to you. And the bet was for a can of coffee. And I was like, if Chan survives his plan, whatever his plan is with the senator, and he goes to visit his mom's ashes at some point, I wonder if he'll bring that can of coffee with him. Because after he's reminiscing, he's like, oh, I lost to my mom. Like, she was right. So I'm curious if he'll bring that can of coffee with him if he survives. So anyway, this makes him even more scared of what the senator is capable of. So he decides to take Tin to an old friend, as he calls it, to the person's house to try to protect Tin. But this old friend turns out to be Na Win, who is Chan's ex, the person that Rose was teasing him about. This causes another jealous scene between Tin and Chan, because Tin, again, he's a good guy, he's a sweetheart and everything, but everyone has that one quirk, that one thing, right? So his thing is, he's a little bit of a jealous and possessive streak to him. So after he realizes who Na Win is, he's upset about being in this guy's house. Like, You know, who wouldn't be, really? And he storms off after a little discussion with Chan, goes to the bathroom to calm down. And when he comes back, he apologizes to Chan about the way he acted. And I really like this scene a lot, actually. Not the whole jealousy bit of it, but I like Jam's acting in this scene. Because when he comes back, you really, really see the kind of embarrassment that he feels. Because he apologizes to Chan, and he's like, and then he doesn't want to say it. He's embarrassed. And Chan is like, no, please, you know, tell me what it is. Tell me what you want to say. But I just like it. Like, there's a little hesitation. There's a kind of a little sigh when Jam is talking. And I just really like the way he portrayed Tin in this moment. We're used to seeing Tin mostly confident, right, in his dealings. Even when Chan was flirting with him in the beginning of the show, he was sort of confidently being like, no, like, we're not gonna, I don't trust you, whatever. But we really, for the first time, see like a real hesitation in him. And it's because this time it's him exposing his vulnerability to Chan and not the other way around. Now, at the same time, we have T and Tan back at the senator's house, and T is being beat up. Tan is suffering, begging his father to stop. And T is asking, like, why don't you love your son? And we finally see the reason that, or Tateb's reason for treating Tan the way that he does. And the reason is that Tan's mother had preeclampsia, which can be a dangerous condition for pregnant women. And she chose to continue with her pregnancy and to have Tan, and died during the birth. And so the senator is like, you killed your mother on the day you were born. And that's why he was never able to love him. And I'm sitting there like, this is very sad. This man lost the love of his life. That is still not a reason for you to have abused your son the way that you did his entire life. If you really could not stand the sight of him, did you have a family member who could have raised him, given him up for adoption? I don't know. I don't know how mental health is taken care of in Thailand. Here in the United States, it's an issue too, right? People don't get the help that they need. But this guy clearly needed help because he went through a trauma, but that is not a little baby's fault, the trauma that you went through. And he also lost his mother, right? He never got to know his mother. Tan Thai never got to know his mother. And the level of abuse, just the little bit that we've seen on the show, multiplied by how many years he's been alive, it was horrendous. It was horrendous. So I feel sympathy that he lost someone, but he completely went overboard. If you couldn't raise him, then don't raise him, right? There must have been some family around who was willing to step in and, or like I said, adoption. I'm speaking from a U.S. perspective. I don't know in Thailand what, again, mental health, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure how things would work over there. But it was a well-acted scene, I must say. It was a heartbreaking and well-acted scene. T's character, what I love is that Tan is actually apologizing. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry for being born, which was like so heartbreaking that he said that. And T was like, no, listen to me. It's not your fault. And it was so important that someone tell that to Tan, to let him know that it was not his fault what happened, and it's not his fault for his father being abusive either. Like I said, the acting was so good in this scene. T was good. Tan, the actor playing Tan, I haven't thought he was always the best in the acting in this show. He seems young. I don't know how new he is or whatever to acting. So he hasn't been the strongest on the show to me. But in this scene, you really, really felt the heartbreak of this character. He really conveyed it. And you even felt the heartbreak of the senator for having lost his wife. Again, I don't agree with the actions he took afterwards, but I felt his heartbreak. So it was all acted very well. Now, speaking of heartbreak, the end of episode 7, when, again, as I had thought in episode 6, Chan handcuffed Tin to the bed to try to stop him from following Chan because Chan has some plan to meet the senator. And, you know, Tin is a very determined person. So handcuffing him to the bed was not going to stop him. Just as Chan and Nawin are about to take off in an airplane to go meet the senator, who comes screaming and yelling his name, but Tin, who had broken the bed to get away. And It's a funny scene because Na Win, the ex, is there and he's so mad that Tin broke this bed. Like, he doesn't even care that this emotional moment is going on between Chan and Tin. He just cares that his bed was broken. But Tin is telling Chan, like, what are you doing? You know, stop, where are you going? Chan starts trying to pretend that he never cared for Tin in the first place and he was just using him. And Tin knows Chan by now and he doesn't believe him because Chan can't even look Tin in the eye. And we saw in episode 6 that Chan, when he's feeling vulnerable and like he can't lie or whatever, he won't look Tin in the eye. We saw that in episode 6. And we see that here. And we see when Tin realizes Chan is spouting all this stuff about I was using you and I'm evil, just like you said, blah, blah. And the whole time he's looking away, he's looking in the sky, he's looking everywhere but at Tin. And Tin realizes and is like, look at me. Right? If you don't love me, if all these things, look at me, tell me that to my face. And of course, Chan cannot do it. And he, you know, admits that he goes to Tin and he hugs him and he gives him his mother's ring and he tells him, think of me sometime. And he pushes him away and they hold him so he can't follow. And you know, then, like, he just does not expect to come back. He does not expect a happy ending with Tin. I don't know if he thinks he's going to die, if the senator is going to kill him, or is he maybe planning to kill the senator and he thinks he might wind up in jail for the rest of his life and never see Tin again? I'm not sure. I'm not sure where I fall. One day I think one thing, one day I think another, but suffice it to say, he doesn't think he's going to get his happy ending with Tin. And he winds up flying away and Tin is just there being held by two goons so that he doesn't follow, but just yelling Chan's name, like, please don't go, don't go, don't go. Because he knows, I mean, the moment Chan gives him his mother's ring, right? And he tells him, think of me sometime. He knows that maybe Chan is going off to die. And it's so heartbreaking. And I was talking earlier about the acting in the scene with Tan and the senator, but the acting here is really good. Jam is good in his role, but again, I'm going to talk about film because I kind of always expect film to be good, right? But in this scene, he has to actually act badly, quote unquote, because he has to act badly enough, right? So that Tin knows that everything he's doing is an act. And the audience knows it's an act, and Tin is going to realize it's an act. And he does it well. A good actor portraying bad acting. He does it really well. And kudos to film. Again, I always feel like I'm like, kudos to him for performing so well in this role. I did have some issues with this episode. I've said repeatedly, I wish the show was 10 episodes. And that before has been just like greediness, like, oh, I want more episodes. But in episode 7, you really see where the show definitely would have benefited from an extra episode or two. Because I found certain things kind of choppy. I actually didn't mention before, but early in this episode, we see T and Tan in bed together after having been intimate, apparently. And it was like, when did that happen? In episode 6, they hug, but that hug is more of a comforting hug. It wasn't an intimate kind of hug, unless they just didn't portray it well in the moment. I'm not sure. And all of a sudden, they're waking up in bed together. And I was like, you know, you needed another episode to explore this a little bit, or even just adding a couple of extra minutes or something, an extra hug. A moment where someone maybe is taking off someone's shirt, where you know they're about to be intimate or something, but just they just suddenly wake up together and it just seemed to come out of nowhere. Also, Na Win, I loved this character. I thought he was hilarious. He was so puppy dogish. And actually, I wish we could have gotten more of him. So an extra episode, or even if he showed up a little earlier or something, I just think he's a really fun character. And I wish we had gotten to see more from him. And then even Tin suddenly showing up at the airport. I mean, is that airfield? Is that right next to Na Win's house? Because otherwise, how did Tin even know he was there? And then Tan and T, how did they get to the senator's house? At some point, Tan and T were filming a video, which Tan put on Instagram stories. I have no idea why. And I have no idea actually why T allowed him to do that. That was weird. But you never see how did they get to the senator's house being beat up by the senator? Did they come back voluntarily? Was there something in that Instagram story that somebody saw and they were able to follow them and capture them? Like, what happened? They just suddenly showed up at the house. So this episode was really, it was a really good episode. It's probably my favorite episode, one of my favorite, because I loved episode 6. And the scenes in episode 4 were good. But there was a little choppiness to it that it's because the show is so short and they're obviously rushed. I hope that they're not going to rush episode 8 like this. I don't want to, it's the finale. I want them to go out with a bang. So I hope that we don't have kind of like missing scenes the way that it seems to have happens in episode 7. But anyway, overall, a great episode, part of a really good series. And I'm really looking forward to episode 8 and to seeing how this all ends. I hope that Chan and Tin get their happy ending. And I want T and Tan to get a happy ending too. I was not a fan of Tan in the beginning of the show, but they really turned it around. They really showed us how he is this sweet person deep down inside. So I want good things for him as well. And I want good things for T, who's been so loyal to him all this time. I want them to have their happy ending together. So that's it. Thanks for joining me for episode 38 of Notes from a Drama Watcher, where we got to talk about Laws of Attraction, episodes 6 and 7. Next week is the finale. Oh, I'm so sad it's ending. But I'm glad we got the show, and I'm glad we got to see this great acting from film and from Jam, who's growing more and more as an actor. So thanks again for sticking with me, guys. I'll catch you next time. Stay safe, everyone.